Good morning. It's always a privilege to be able to share God's word, and I trust that for all who will be listening in today, you will be lifted up, blessed in spirit, and especially in these days of lockdown. We'll begin with a scripture reading from Psalm chapter 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I, the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his right hand. He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, the King, hear us when we call. That's the end of the scripture reading. And now I'll have a word of prayer before we begin the message this morning. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your goodness in so many ways. Thanks for the countless blessings that you bestow upon us. Food to eat, clothes to wear, and a house, a roof over our head. We thank you, Lord, for your countless blessings day by day. And we pray, Lord, for those many around the globe who are hurting, suffering, and in need. And we pray, Lord, that you will meet those needs. Undertake for those who are suffering and in need. And Lord, I pray that this message this morning, this message today would speak to each one of our hearts as we wait upon you. And now, the message that I've titled for this morning is Be Ready. With hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes doing monumental destruction and worldwide destruction, hordes of people, are on marches and others fleeing homelands, countries and the like, combined with a worldwide pandemic that is taking the lives of millions. It is certainly looking like something is amiss, something is out of control, and chaotic and confusion. But don't be fooled. Whatever the case, our God is in control. He knows what's going on. Many people will say, if God loves us, where is he? If he cares, where is he? But hold on. Most who say this or something like this have never read his word all the way through. And if they have, they have not studied it enough to know enough about how God works and how he cares for us. He loves us and wants to bring us closer to Himself. Many have never memorized that all-important verse of Scripture in Hebrews 2:3 that says, "How shall we escape if we neglect that great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and is confirmed unto us by them that heard Him?" Go back into the Old Testament and remember what happened at the Tower of Babel or the flood and the exodus of Israel from Egypt. Man gets himself into troubles and trials, and in God's timing, He intervenes. He takes over. This message, I trust, is God's message to each and every one of us. Be ready. Because sooner or later, all these trials, turmoil, will impact and involve each one of us, if not already. I will say that Israel exiting Egypt was not man getting into trouble, but their rebelling against Moses in the process was. And man has a tendency to blame God when things don't seem to work out the way we feel they should. And now, after 40 years in the wilderness, as Israel was moving toward the promised land, we read in Numbers 32, 1 and 2, this: "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying," and in Numbers 32 verses 4 and 5, this is what they said: "Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle." Verse 5: "Wherefore," said they, "if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan." And Moses was not a little bit angry about this statement. Then Moses, that great leader of Israel, spoke in Numbers 32, 6 and 7. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, "Shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them?" And in verses 8 to 15, in this same chapter, Moses reminded the children of Reuben and the children of Gad of God's anger against all the people who rebelled and refused to obey Him in those 40 years in the wilderness. Now, this is the part that I really like. "And they came near unto Him." They wanted to get a little bit closer to Moses to make sure he hears what they say. I don't know if he was a little bit hard of hearing, but this is what he said: We will build, this is what they said: "We will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones." But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. And we will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. And my message to this congregation this morning is, are you ready? Or should I say, are we ready and armed to go and do that which God has planned for us to do? If so, we must pray about it. We must be armed. We must be prepared for it and be ready with that full armor of God. And now to move on to the next phase, read Psalm 86, verses 5 and 6. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. Who said this? These are the words and prayer of David. And as I was preparing this message, the words of Psalm 46 came to mind also, a psalm to the chief musician. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. He is ready. And now we proceed with our message to the book of Mark, chapter 14 and verse 38. And if it seems like we are jumping around with lots of different scripture, it is because sometimes that is just what we must do to get the best picture of a scripture, principle, or lesson to be taught and learned. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And when the Passover meal was finished, Jesus rose up and washed his disciples' feet. And just before he did that, they were having a little bit of discussion amongst themselves as to who is the greatest. And Jesus wanted to show them that we're not here to show ourselves to be great, but to allow him to work through us to reach others with his message. And after this Passover meal was finished, in verse 26 of Mark 14, it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And verse 27, and Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Verse 28, but after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And it is at this point that Peter so strongly and vehemently opposes Jesus' statement that all will be offended of me this night. But we won't get into that, because how many of us have made a statement, a promise that we didn't keep, or a promise to God and we didn't keep it? But we'll look at verse 38 again, where Jesus said, "Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." And in Mark 32, Jesus said, "Sit ye here while I shall pray." But his disciples were so, so tired, so weary, so sleepy, they could not stay awake. It had been a very hard day for them, and for Jesus also. But he knew it. He knew they were tired. The Passover preparation that they had to prepare for, the meal, the teachings of Jesus in the news over and over again, that Jesus, their teacher, their Lord and Master, their Savior and King, was about to die. This one who had raised Lazarus from the dead, and some others, the damsel in Mark 5, the widow's son in Luke 7, and I believe there could be more. He who had cast out demons, walked on water, healed lepers, made water into wine, gave sight to the blind, made the lame to walk. What is he saying? He is about to die, our Savior and Lord. It doesn't make sense for him to die. This was all more than they could comprehend. It was all a big blur. And speaking of dying here, just a few weeks ago, I was talking with my neighbor over the fence, and I don't know how the word dying came into conversation, but he all of a sudden went into a spiel, and he said, "Everything that's living has to die. Dogs die, men die, presidents, leaders die, and even Jesus died," he said. And I jumped in real quick and I said, "But Jesus rose from the dead. He's not dead. He's not dead. He's alive." And he walked away. But when we get that opportunity to share something about Jesus, we should do it. And then in chapter 14, 38, again Jesus said, "Watch and pray, lest ye fall into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." Don't be a party pooper. Be a positive participant in God's business at hand. Be ready. Are we getting it? That "be ready" statement throughout Scripture? If so, let's go or take the next step to be ready for. It's found in Matthew 24:44, where it says, "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." That's the prize. Being with Jesus, being in his presence, being ready to serve him with sincerity for eternity, for the rest of our lives, in the new life. It is called the revelation of Christ. It is not the rapture, but I will say, if we are truly believers in Jesus, we should be ready for the rapture as well. If my theology is correct, Jesus could come at any moment. And this is revealed in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 18, where it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's be ready for that also. And this comes with no other prophecy or warning that I know of, but meanwhile, as we wait, as we get older, slow down physically, mentally, spiritually, and as age causes deterioration on the brain, the bones, and the blood and body of man, there is a be ready we should have started out with in our Christian walk with God. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." This is pretty much the finish of our message on be ready, but before we close, I would like to add an ABC salvation discourse on becoming a believer, if there is by any chance someone listening in that has never taken that step of faith. And some people say there are many ways that you can become a Christian, but that's not so. No, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus, our Savior and Lord, the one who went to the cross and became that sacrificial lamb that laid down his life for the whole world. The ABC of salvation is this, sometimes called the Roman road. Admit or acknowledge that we are sinners. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Also Romans 6:23 that tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then B, Romans 10:9-10-11, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And then the C of this salvation message, call on him. Romans 10:13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And also Romans 10:10 that we just read before. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And because of this particular verse of scripture, these scriptures that I have given you in this ABC is found in Romans, but there's one more that I really like because of the references. Jeremiah 33:3, "The year I was born and the day I was born," says, "Call on me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." And now let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us in so many ways. Thank you for your living word. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who lives within our hearts when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in so many ways and for this day. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And then I believe we'll have a song, and after that, I'll share a benediction.